13th. This is a Park and Recreation Commission meeting. If we could all rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. Mendoza, would you please take roll call?
Yes, Chair. Give me a quick sec. Oh, so Commissioner Furia?
Here.
Commissioner Hugh?
Here.
Commissioner Philibosian?
Here.
Commissioner Replicol Purinton?
Here.
Commissioner Williams is currently absent. Vice Chair Walton?
Here.
And Chair Jenkins?
Here. This is a time for any member of the public to speak on any item not on the agenda. Mr. Mendoza, do we have any member of the public wishing to speak?
If we have any members of the public wishing to speak on an item that is not on the agenda, please use the raise hand icon and I can call on you shortly. And we currently have no hands raised.
Thank you. Ms. Plummer, are there any amendments or adjustments to the agenda?
Chair Jenkins, I believe Mr. Valdez has a quick amendment.
Just very quickly, and we'll do it a little bit more when we get to the discussion item, but I did want to introduce Ms. Cassidy Laire, who's our new Senior Management Analyst in Neighborhood Services. She's right next to her is Melissa Cure from Neighborhood Services, who's been here for a little while, but they'll be teaming up to do the item that's coming up on your agenda. But we just wanted to take an opportunity to say hello.
Well, we welcome that opportunity to say hello when it comes up on the agenda. Okay, Mr. Mendoza, can you read the consent calendar into the record?
Of course. We've got item A1, approval of the January 10th, 2024 Parks and Recreation Commission meeting minutes. We've got item A2, the Parks and Recreation Manager project and program updates. Item A3, Parks and Open Space Division report. And item A4, the director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mendoza. Do we have any members of the public that would like to speak to any item on the consent calendar?
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak on any item on the consent calendar, please use the raise hand icon and I can call on you shortly. And Chair, we do have one hand raised. Mr. Steve Ferry, I will go ahead and unmute you on our end. Please make sure you unmute yourself on your end and you will have 3 minutes when you are ready to begin.
Am I ready now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great, thank you. Good evening, commissioners. I'm Steve Ferry, representing the Santa Barbara Audubon Society. Audubon is very, very concerned about the recent stocking of trout at Lake Los Carneros by the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. As a result of the fish stocking, many fishers have come to the lake. The impact of fishing on the environment in and around the lake has been considerable and very negative. Audubon members practice non-consumptive recreational opportunities that LLC provides for bird watching and wildlife viewing. Our members also care deeply about the well-being of birds and other wildlife that find safe shelter within this important city park and open space. Our Conservation Committee met with George Thompson last week to discuss the fishing impacts. We were encouraged that George took our concerns seriously and has already taken measures to reduce the impact of fishing. However, the impacts of fishing have been so negative, and LLC is so important to our members, that we felt we had to make a public statement. Some of the fishing impacts are the following: people walking through the reeds on the shore, scaring off wildlife and destroying habitat; fishing tackle left on the shore and stuck in vegetation. Recently, a barn owl was entangled in fishing line, was hanging from a tree and had to be rescued. It is likely that this caused the owl's nest to fail. Trash left on the shore. Motorboats and other watercraft that displace birds and turtles. Probable ecological damage from adding a non-native species, the trout, to the lake. We would like to see the city implement the following: limit fishing to the dam only. Post no fishing signs elsewhere on the shore. Post fishing rules near park entrances, perhaps in the two new kiosks that are going in. Encourage the Department of Fish and Wildlife not to stock any more fish. I hope that the commission will address this important issue. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak from the public?
And at the moment, I do not have any more hands raised.
Thank you for your input, person that just gave it. Okay. Would any commissioner like to pull any item from the consent calendar? Would any commissioner like to make a motion on the consent calendar?
Motion to accept, approve.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? Mr. Mendoza, can you conduct a roll call vote?
Of course, Chair, and I would like to remind everyone to please lock in your vote on your little screen. Commissioner Furia?
Yes.
Commissioner Hugh?
Considering I was absent, should I abstain?
Yeah.
Abstain.
Commissioner Philibosian?
Yes.
Commissioner Replicable-Purinton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Walton? Actually,
I think what we should have done was actually pull that, the meetings aside, the minutes aside, and then say everything except item A1. And then everyone could vote on that and then vote on A1 separately, and that's where Commissioner Hugh could say absent. Okay, so I apologize for that. I don't think we did all the votes yet. So if we could just have a revised motion, that'd be helpful.
I'll revise my motion. I motion to pull item A1, the minutes from the previous meeting, and to approve all of the other items on the consent agenda.
And I will second the amended motion.
Any discussion? Seeing none, can we conduct a roll call?
Yes, so first we will vote on the pulled item, A1. So on this one, Commissioner Hugh, you would just have to abstain on this one. So Commissioner Furia?
Approve, yes.
Commissioner Hugh?
Abstain.
Commissioner Philibosian?
Yes.
Commissioner Replicable-Purinton?
Yes.
Vice Chair Walton?
Yes.
And Chair Jenkins?
Yes. Now we're going to vote on A2 to A4.
That's correct.
Would any commissioner like to make a motion?
The motion.
Oh, we already did that.
We have, yeah.
So we're going back. Okay, great.
So this would be for the rest of the consent calendar. So Commissioner Furia?
Yes.
Commissioner Hugh?
Yes.
Commissioner Philibosian?
Yes.
Commissioner Replicant-Purinton?
Yes.
Vice Chair Walton?
Yes.
And Chair Jenkins?
Yes.
And Chair, if you could just log in your vote on your screen.
It says yes. Oh, lock. Sorry.
Motion passes.
Okay. Ms. Plummer, can you lead us into the next item?
Thank you, Chair Jenkins. I'm actually going to turn the microphone over to Mr. Blake Markham with our City Clerk's Division, and he is going to take you through this process.
Thank you, Ms. Plummer. Blake Markham from our City Clerk's Office. So the item before you today is item B1, selection of the Parks and Recreation Commission Chair and Vice Chair. So just as a reminder for how this process works, I'll be asking for nominations for a chair and then for a vice chair. Anybody from the commission can nominate, and those nominations do not require a second. And then we'll go ahead and take a vote on each one and see where we end up. With that, let's get started. Do I hear any nominations for chair?
I move to nominate Courtney Walton as chair.
I accept.
Okay, that's a nomination for Commissioner Walton, and you said you accept?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other nominations for chair? Okay, hearing none, we'll take a roll call vote.
Commissioner Furia?
Yes.
Commissioner Hume?
Yes.
Commissioner Philibosian?
Yes.
Commissioner Replicant-Purinton?
Yes.
Vice Chair Walton?
Yes.
And Chair Jenkins?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, fantastic. With that, we'll move on to the selection of a vice chair. Do I hear any nominations for vice chair?
Go ahead.
I'd like to nominate Commissioner Furia for vice chair.
And Commissioner Furia, do you accept the nomination?
Sure, though, if Richard was open for it, I'm happy to.
Please accept.
Sure.
Okay, great. Do I hear any other nominations for vice chair? Hearing none, we can go to a roll call vote.
Commissioner Furia?
Yes.
Commissioner Hugh?
Yes.
Commissioner Philibosian?
Yes.
Commissioner Replicant-Purinton?
Yes.
Commissioner Jenkins?
Yes.
And Chair Walton?
Yes.
Okay, congratulations. Thank you very much.
It's all yours.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Commissioner Jenkins, and actually Chair Walton, if we would take a 2-minute break, we can go ahead and switch some seats before we go ahead on to item B2.
Okay. Okay. We'll take a 2-minute break and we'll be back.
Bring it on me.
Thank you.
All right, it's 6:17. We're going to call the meeting back to order. Mr. Mendoza, are there any members of the public who would like to speak on this item?
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak on this item, please use the raise hand icon and I can call on you shortly.
Chair Walton, would you like to have staff present the item first and then maybe we could take public comment so that we know what they're talking
on? Yes, please.
Okay, that would be perfect. So without further ado, on item B2, I'm actually going to turn the microphone over to Mr. Valdez and he will introduce this item.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Chair, and all of the commissioners. The item before you this evening and kind of the main one of the main purposes of tonight's meeting is to look at, review, and make recommendations for the fiscal year 24-25 city grants that have been assigned to the category under the purview for Parks and Recreation. Joining me this evening is Melissa Kuehr, Management Assistant in Neighborhood Services, who's done a tremendous amount of work over the last couple of months, making sure that we're in a position to be able to do this with the commission tonight. This is part of a larger effort. We were just with the Economic Development Committee meeting earlier this week. Homeless Issues Standing Committee will have their role next week. We had the grant or the Human Services Standing Committee at the end of February. So we're almost on our last leg of this process. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Ms. Kuehr, and then also with her is Cassidy, who's going to be taking over the program in ensuing cycles.
Thank you. Good evening, Chair Walton and commissioners. First, I just want to say thank you. I know that reviewing these applications is very time consuming, and so I appreciate the time that you've spent reviewing these. This year, there were 20 applications requesting a total of $120,678.25 in funding for the Parks and Rec Commission. The 20 applications were broken into two categories, recreational activities and environmental, wildlife, and animal programs. Each category has been allocated $25,000 in available grant funds. Since the funding requests exceed the $25,000 allocation, this will result in either not funding some applications, funding at a lesser amount than what was requested, or funding at a lesser amount than what was requested. The recommendations must be $25,000 per category or less because there are no additional funds for these programs. The commissioners were provided the applications in advance along with a funding spreadsheet to review and fill out in advance to discuss publicly at this meeting. The commission is being asked to consider each of the city grant applications and collectively providing a recommended funding amounts that will go to council for final approval in late April or early May. After the commissioners' questions and public comments, we can pull up the grant funding spreadsheet to see what the averages are because we have entered them all and have the averages that, of everyone's recommendations. But I would like to note that staff held a grant workshop in January. We had over 40 nonprofits in attendance and we went over our expectations for completing these applications. We asked the applicants not to leave any blanks, but instead to put like NA so that we knew it just wasn't relevant to them and it wasn't missed or just skipped. And so because this is a competitive process, the applications are what they are and should be rated as how they were submitted.
So I was just going to add on that. We've had questions in the past, last year in particular with this commission and then at several times with the other standing committees. You know, the questions about asking additional questions, clarifications, hopes, desires, wishes, changes, all those kinds of things. And we've tried to liken it to kind of when you submit an application, whether it's like a college application or an application to, you know, get some sort of product, like, You submitted and that's what it is. And if you could have made it better, you know, unfortunately, you can try again next year kind of thing. We just don't really want to get in a position where we're arbitrating, changing, or modifying a scope of service provided by one of the applicants. And so that really we're asking, you know, for kind of a consensus thought from the whole group. And the reason I bring it up is it's just happened in the other committees. so it's fresh in our minds. And so hopefully you can take that that kind of point of view as we hopefully can get to the end. We'd like to do this today and not have to do another Parks and Rec Commission special meeting to accommodate the schedule that we need to bring this back to council. So with that, we're happy to help the commission move this thing along, and we appreciate your time and your thoughtfulness as you review these.
Chair Walton and members of the commission, so earlier when you received your packet with all the applications, you were asked to complete an Excel spreadsheet and turn that into our office. And I'm pulling up those, I think I'm pulling up those collective thoughts right now. So our intent is, so here is all your collective thoughts. I'm gonna try to make this a little bit bigger. Maybe. What happened there? So we have all of the commissioners that are present listed here that have completed their applications and their funding and their recommendations. The yellow column, so I'm going to get away from our individual commissioners so you can see the person, the organization, and the average. We'll take these one at a time, talking first about the recreational applications. This is where we do have speakers on this item. So if you wanted to take public comment or you wanted to chat a little bit first, it's up to you, whichever direction you'd like to go into. And then we'll be working just only in this yellow column to see how we're going to make those changes.
All right. Thank you. We do have 45 minutes to get this done, and it's going to be a lot. So I'm open to feedback. Would you like us as a commission to begin discussion, or should we hear from some of the participants who are here? We'll go ahead and we'll hear from any comments in the, I believe, should I be the name here?
Yes, so we do have one person in person, and then Mr. Mendoza-Diaz can pull up the information online. So if you'll go ahead and read that person, okay. And we can ask him to step up to the microphone.
Okay, we're very grateful that in person today we have Bill Rupp from Club West. Would you please come forward and share with us?
Good evening. My name is Bill Rupp. I'm with Club West. I'm the president. What we do is we put on a youth track and field meet, and it's the one meet that's put on the South County. So basically we have people, it's called the Old County, so it's anyone from Santa Barbara. And I basically go in person to the Goleta schools and ask them, hey, you know, here's the registration form. And some schools will be very active in terms of the PE instructor, and he or she will then get a team put together. And then there's some schools that will just have one or two people who are very interested in it, and then they will come to the meet and things like that. So basically it's going to be at Santa Barbara City College on May 4th. We run it like a regular high school meet. We'll have a timer, we'll have a starter, we'll have USA track and field officials. We put on field events, shot put, high jump, the long jump. We'll do track events from 100 meters to 3,000 meters. We'll do a finals for the 100 meters. And takes usually about, we start about 8:45 and it goes to about 3 o'clock at City College. And so, I mean, we recruit volunteers locally because we need about 20, 25 volunteers for the meet. Basically, I get UCSB fraternities or sororities to help out, or we've had the local rugby club from UCSB and stuff like that. So that's all my comments. Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, if we have any members on the Zoom webinar who wish to speak on this item, please use the raise hand icon and I can call on you shortly. I do have one raised hand right now. Jennifer Ono, I will go ahead and unmute you on our end. When you are ready to speak, make sure you unmute yourself on your end and you may begin to speak. You will have 3 minutes.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay, perfect. First of all, I just want to thank you for your consideration. And also, I'm not sure if some of the committee members are aware, but the city of Goleta did make a significant donation when we were doing our capital campaign to build Ice in Paradise, and we're very thankful for that. Mostly everything I wanted to say is in the grant application, and of course, I'm available for questions as the process goes forward. But we did really think carefully about this grant application and how, you know, being the largest indoor recreational facility in the city of Goleta, how could we make our offerings even more known to the community? Because when we looked at the numbers, we have a lot more participants in our youth programs from Santa Barbara than in Goleta. And so we really want to make all of the Goleta residents aware that we're here, we're offering programs, you know, youth and adults, and specifically our learn to skate and our hockey programs. And so I see the average here of what all of the different commissioners have recommended. And so we'll be thankful for whatever amount we can put towards this marketing effort to help us reach out to people in Goleta and let them know what we're offering and that it's really affordable for them to participate in our recreation programs. And I'll be available if anyone has any questions.
Thank you.
At the moment, I see no further hands raised, but we do have other people from organizations on. So, just.
Are there any commissioners who'd like to say something?
Commissioner Jenkins, can you make sure your mic's on and you're speaking into it?
Forgot. Looking at the averages that are highlighted, are we going to negotiate among ourselves a dollar amount so that the total's $25,000? Are we going to go plus minus?
So the average was just to give you a perspective of where these tended to rank among all of the different you can negotiate. We would ask that we try to end up with round numbers. $616.67 is really hard to split up in four payments without having remainders. Usually we round to the nearest 100. or in certain cases, the nearest 250, 500, 750, you know, 1,000 or whatever. But to try to help the commission make some maybe some possible thoughts, oftentimes what happens is, you know, if you see the two lower ones, unless there's a overwhelming desire to make sure everyone gets some amount, oftentimes that's something where you would say, well, you know, if we're really focused, the big higher ones, there's five. Let's just go with those five and fund those more at a higher level. Totally at the purview of the commission. You can also bring up with each other if there's something that you saw in the application that you thought was more compelling. You know, some people feel stronger that if it has to be a physical footprint in Goleta, some people tend to focus if there's a more number served or a smaller number but more intensely served. So it can range from all over. We just ask that to try to make that progression, folks either start to consider like, well, you know, maybe the first two didn't seem to resonate as strongly, but you still want to set a minimum, you could say 500, you know, and then start making those 500 and then you start seeing what's left over. We've seen that happen. Or if someone really feels strongly that someone should get the entire 10,000, you know, we're welcome to make that case as well. So it's really up to you. Again, this is the collective thought of everybody. And so hopefully we can walk away from this with most people feeling fairly proud or confident of the outcome.
So can we just start with number one and just amongst ourselves discuss that?
You can start with number one. You can start with number 12. Okay. You know?
Would it help the commission if I put under the city recommendation area? I know that we're not necessarily taking that, but as a starting point to round these up or down based on the rounding model. That way we kind of know what we're working with and you could still see that average.
Yes.
Okay, let's see what happens.
Okay. And while you're working your magic on the math, I just want to say that I was really impressed with the applications, and there were a lot of strong applications that came in this year. It was really challenging. Last year was my first year granting, and we had some amazing applications as well. But I'm seeing that, you know, sadly, we cannot fund all of them. And from my perspective, I'd rather make an impact than just, you know, divide it all, you know, 12 different ways. And so for me, when I went through, there were some organizations that I thought perhaps this time we would not fund, either because we funded them in the past or perhaps we'll fund them in the future. But did any other commissioner have any thoughts about that? Like, did you come across some that you just thought we could wait till another time? Another question I had actually for staff would be, I really appreciate that our report shows this year and last year. However, it would be nice if maybe there was like a five-year perspective, because one of the groups that's on here I do recognize from last year, they're doing excellent work, and I'm sure they'll continue to do excellent work, but perhaps we could, like, you know, spread the love and maybe let them.
We'd be happy to do that in future years. This is just the second year that we've had these category breakdowns.
Okay.
Yeah, so we don't really have a lot. We have the program goes back many years, but also the dollar amount has changed significantly. Usually it was around $100,000, and this year it's $250,000. So I'm not sure how much that would help. And then we didn't have these category breakouts like we did before.
Yeah.
2 years ago, this wouldn't have come to you. This would have just gone straight to the grant funding committee. So I think for those reasons, and in future years, we can absolutely, you know, bring them along. But yeah, we're happy to do that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And that was kind of my thinking too. We'll definitely want to spread the love around. And perhaps if we don't fund someone on this list, it's not because the commission does not value their work, or you know, their application is subpar, but just realizing that we only have $25,000 to allot, and we want to be impactful in that way. Commissioner Jenkins?
Request to speak. There were a couple that stood out for me. The one is the Youth Hockey Outreach Awareness Program, requesting $5,000. And when I read the application, it seemed like their numbers were dwindling downwards. There was a steady downward trend. And the number of people that were served was just a very small number. I think it was like 22 or someplace within that range. And I chose to not fund them. Okay. And I just wanted to throw that out.
Okay.
The other one that really stood out for me was the track and field championship. We're averaging $750 to grant them. They requested $1,000.
Okay.
So it's a $250 differential. So the amount that I would recommend for other commissioners' consideration is to look at the Youth Hockey Outreach Awareness Program and the amount that we fund it, and fully fund the $1,000 that the track and field the Club West All County Youth Track and Field Championship, because the number of people and youth served was pretty tremendous, as well as adults, fraternities, sororities, et cetera.
Yes.
Chair, if I may, we do have a commenter who raised their hand if you'd be interested to hear.
Ms. Ono, I will go ahead and unmute you on our end. Once again, whenever you are ready to begin speaking, you will have 3 minutes.
Thank you so much. I did just want to clarify, in our application, we did highlight some numbers, and I wanted to go ahead and be specific about those. In our youth hockey program, we have 625 unique youth. In our Learn to Skate program, 245 of those are specifically from the city of Goleta. That's 40% of our program, and we feel that's a really healthy number from the city of Goleta. In our youth hockey program, we have 210 individual youths. What we were surprised to find was that only 14 of those, 6%, are from the city of Goleta. And we thought, wow, that's a really interesting number because we have so many in our Learn to Skate. And so what this grant is for is to reach out specifically to households living in the city of Goleta to let them know about the program and that it's a program that's for only $80. They get 8 weeks of instructional activities and all of the equipment that they need. This is just two of our programs. There's thousands of other youth and adults that take hockey, skating. We have UCSB coming. They have a UCSB hockey team. So we have a high school hockey team. So I didn't want that number that was stated earlier to stick in anyone's mind because that's not the full picture of what was in our application and the number of people that use our facility.
Thank you. Any commissioners? I would add that, as Commissioner Jenkins pointed out, the numbers, those did jump out at me as well. However, as I interpreted the application, it was a need for more marketing, and I did note what our caller said about how the numbers are lower in Goleta, and it's right here in our backyard. And the city of Goleta and our residents agreed that it was important to invest in an ice hockey or ice skating ring. And I think we need to give it some time. You know, there's been a lot of changes in our community, COVID. I mean, who knows if it's even safe to go out anymore. I think we just need to give people time. And it is such an important investment. So in my preference, I was hoping that we would fund it fully for the full $5,000. And then as far as Club West, personally, my family have benefited wonderfully from Club West's work. My children are all adults now, but I do remember very long, hot Saturdays at SBCC, so hot, so long. But the experience was so wonderful for the children. To imagine being that young and having really professional referees and giving examples and just a real opportunity to do the sport more than you would do than, say, at recess or on gym. So I feel like that's something important that we would support both of them. Just going to some of the items that I had chose not to support, and not because they're not valuable, but just perhaps this cycle, it would not, in light of the other things, I was thinking that we might pass on the Dos Pueblos football. The game day meals are so important, and I would love to just give them that, but I think that they're going to be all right. Football is big in our community, and I think we're going to make sure the team is going to be fed. I also thought that perhaps we might save Goleta Valley Girls Softball Association and the Goleta Valley South Little League, as well as the Santa Barbara Police Activities League, for perhaps another grant cycle, just so that we can keep things local and centralized. And I was also considering the fact that some of these are new. We have 5 that did not apply last year. And so being mindful of that, I kind of lowered some of the numbers of those that we granted from the year before, if choosing to resupport them, just in the thought of, again, we want to spread the love around and not necessarily just concentrate on a few. When I put my list together, I had 6 organizations being funded for the full $25,000, and the amounts ranged anywhere from $1,000 for Club West up to $7,000. You know, sadly, there wasn't enough money to give everyone exactly what they were requesting, except for the Ice Skating Association. But, that was my thinking and how I got to that. Could you possibly slide it over so we could see what the other commissioners were thinking and we can kind of discuss that?
I'm going to just try to freeze the pane so you know what it's lined up
yes,
with.
Yes, thank you. Does anyone else have any thoughts on just sharing some of the things that they were thinking? Yes, please.
on. There we go. Now you can hear me. Two of the ones that were mentioned here, the Club West and Ice in Paradise, are two of our active recreation facilities and active recreation participation events. And I do want to support those. I know the Ice in Paradise, the outreach was one of the higher ones I percentage-wise that I put in. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely support funding them. I know they are, our, as they said, the largest indoor recreation facility, and we are a recreation facility poor community. So I do want to support them. And if they're targeting Goleta, I think that's fantastic. And I did fund the Club West at 100% because I think it's a fantastic, it sounds like a fantastic program for the youth. And I would like to support that and encourage as many people to participate in that one.
Yes, go ahead. Grace, did you have your chance to say?
No.
Okay. Would you like to go ahead and present next?
Yes. I agree. I think Club West could be something that we consider fully funding, considering that the estimation is only $250 off. Something else that maybe we could consider thinking about more is Girls Inc. I really love Girls Inc. I love what they do. I actually... when I was younger, I went there a lot, and I love their work, and so I would love if we funded them. But I also noticed that they also had a lot of additional support. So, for example, in Prompt 9, where it was asked, you know, if you only got partial funding, how would you be able to make it up? And I saw that they had a ton of support, a ton of other applications, and they are a very professional organization who most likely have people professionally applying for these grants and are able to put time into doing this. So I would love to fund Girls Inc., but possibly consider like scaling down how much we fund them. But I think they are doing really great work, and I really do love them.
Thank you. And Commissioner Furia.
Thanks. One of the things I was looking for this year, there were lots of folks who were doing specifically scholarships for Goleta students, and so that was really standing out for me. So in that way, I actually fully funded the Girls Softball Association, even though we funded them last year, because they're focused exclusively on doing scholarships for Goleta residents, which I really appreciated. I did have less for Goleta Valley South Little League this year. I did about a 10%. You said you didn't did fund them at all. We did a very big grant for them last year for field improvements. So I felt a little bit, this was another field improvements in this case for bleachers. So I felt like I wanted to focus a little more on the actual recreation pieces, the sort of direct support of Goleta students. Similarly, other places that we're focusing on scholarships, we got a new application from Santa Barbara Police Activities League. And as a parent of young children, I was very excited to see that they were offering summer camp opportunities for students who don't get that opportunity. I know I was rushing around doing all of my registrations recently, so I love the idea that some additional students from Goleta who wouldn't otherwise have those experience would get that experience. So I had them at less than requested, but I did appreciate that. And similarly, Dos Pueblos Little League, once again, they were doing scholarships. So it was these ones that were doing scholarships spoke to me a lot. Stowe Camp as well. That's a lovely local organization doing really great work in the summertime. So I love that they were doing scholarships.
Commissioner Jenkins, would you like to speak?
Circling back to Club West, it seems like collectively, at least the voices that have been aired, that we would like to support them for their requested amount, which is $1,000. I know we averaged 750, but I'd like to make a recommendation to fully support them for their requested amount, which is $1,000, and then make adjustments upwards and downwards of others. but it seems to be rather unique.
You don't need to do a motion for every single recommendation. Okay. I think if I see a lot of heads nodding, we could just do that. And so it starts making the math a little bit easier.
Thank you.
Or else we're going to get all motioned out by the end of this.
Yes, yes. That was very good, Commissioner. Thank you for leading us in that. And is everyone in agreement? I see heads going, but just to make sure, yes. Okay, so we will be fully funding Club West.
And just as a reminder, Commissioner Walton, these are all recommendations to City Council.
Yes.
So
yes.
We're recommending the full funding to Club West. It's not final until the council actually does the funding.
Yes, of course. Okay.
Do we want to just go down in the row so we have number one. Woohoo! Done.
Yes.
If we can go to number two, we're looking at Dos Pueblos football. Right now, our average is 600. So we are 300 over right now. So we can take it up. We can take it down. We have two commissioners that didn't fund them at all.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Commissioner Jenkins, did you want to speak? I thought you were there from last time.
I do. I think one of the things that struck me about this program are for indigent kids that weren't able to provide meals for themselves during their football games. And it was a way of being more inclusive by funding them. And again, it's a relatively small amount, $1,500. I know I didn't fund them the full amount, but I think that amount, staff recommended, it went out to 600. I would like to see that at actually 1,000. Just to throw that out for a point of discussion.
All right.
Okay, just to point out, Commissioner Jenkins, we're going in the wrong direction. So if I were to,
well,
if
there's
support,
others that we can plus and minus down.
So I just wanted to just share that if there is support of that, even just by a head nod, general support, we can always, these aren't fixed. We can go back and change it. Then that puts us at $700 over. And we're only on number two.
And we're moving right along.
Right. And so we can make adjustments correspondingly to the end, and you can make adjustments again. But
absolutely,
there is a tendency to keep adjusting, to adjust, and it takes a long time. So sometimes it's easier to say, you know what, we love this. It's 500. We wish we could give you more. On to the next one. And then at the very end, see if there's additional money. If there's a very strong position on this, like, no, absolutely we should, then I think that's something to say, because I think we're going to get into an issue where everyone's going to feel a little bit bad that they can't fund them at the correct level, and that's going to be the same case for almost every single one of these. So we would encourage you to, if you feel very strongly, you know, make that statement, but then also kind of keep in mind those averages on the yellow. We look at those as kind of like a weighted average of what all of you have collectively indicated prior to the meeting, and I understand it could be swayed, but that's kind of what we thought would be helpful, and if not, I could just be quiet for now.
Well, I do have a question, and then I'll go to, the numbers changed, Commissioner Jenkins and then Commissioner Furia. Actually, I asked it earlier, but I didn't actually plug for a response. So is it the commission's view that everyone who applied should get some portion, and that's why we're just kind of dividing it like that? Or do we look at it competitively and just try to make more larger, more impactful gifts? So how are we feeling? Do we feel like we need to give everyone who applied a contribution, or are we able to make decisions about making more impactful decisions? And that's just up for discussion.
My preference would be based on our values and what impact we think these organizations can make within our community, for us, for our recommendations to go to the City Council. What programs get more bang for the buck? And I'm more about the quality of the programs than the people that are benefiting from their programs based on their application. And I'm okay with not funding.
Some people, some organizations. All right. Anyone else? I can, maybe that can help us, because if we have to come to, if we're coming into consensus that everyone who applies gets a portion, then that will be a different discussion than we're going to do it more competitively and what's, as Commissioner Jenkins says, in line with our visions and our values at the moment. So any other commissioners who would like to speak to that, having a preference for funding everyone equally or just making it more competitive? Commissioner Furia, please.
I'm happy to basically go either way. I but that's not helpful, but I did fund everyone, but I definitely funded them at different levels based on values. So for some of the ones that I did a lower amount, I could see not funding and redistributing that for greater impact. So I would be okay with that approach. Yes, so okay. I'll circle back to my other comment when everybody else has it.
Commissioner Vopogel Puritan, do you have a thought? Your face looked like you had a thought.
My thought is I've gone back and forth. So again, I'm not helpful, but I will say, as nothing to do with any of these grantors. It's with the city of Santa Barbara because the program I'm with is in Santa Barbara. It is nice to be recognized and receive some funding and then go, okay, so they see what we're doing. We'll apply again next year. And then maybe things will be different. And I actually didn't fund everybody, but as I'm hearing these conversations, I'm thinking I'm leaning towards funding everyone to give them that impetus for next year and to apply again.
Thank you.
Chair Walton, if I may, why don't we, because we have two groups to get through and we're still on number two of the first group. So instead of going down in the order, if there was at least one organization that a commissioner felt strongly that we should fund and we can negotiate that amount, and then we can kind of work our way through the amount since going down the list isn't quite working out?
I like that idea, and maybe we can just look at all the ones that we've all agreed to fund. Maybe that can be starting place as well, the larger gifts. So looking on our average, it appears that for Girls Inc., that would be the largest gift. We've all made gifts between $3,000 and $6,000, so the average is $4,000 for that. Can we come to a decision about what we would give Girls Inc.?
I see our average is 4,200. We put 200 extra to Club West. I suggest that we go with 4,000 for Girls Inc. and put the 200, move the 200 up to Club West, where we've upped that already.
You're right. Okay, so fund, so that we would raise it to 4,000 then. We would just, or I'm sorry, just level it at 4,000.
Yes.
How do other commissioners feel about that, just making it a flat 4,000?
When I read their application, of all the organizations that made an application, they really stood out as being really resource-rich compared to all the other organizations. And they had multiple funders, so they could do leveraging. So I would even reduce that another 500 to 3,500 because they have a large staff, large grants, and because I made recommendations for $750 increase, this would get us only a $50 deficit.
Okay. Commissioner Freya?
I would agree they have a large staff and large grants, but they also serve a larger portion of the community. So I would like to, I like the proposal of 4,000 nice round number, and not to go down because they're serving a huge portion of our community, whereas a lot of the other ones, they're smaller organizations. I want to fund them as well, but and as much as it's like, yeah, Girls Inc. is awesome, and part of the reason their application is awesome is they actually have a grant writer. That's excellent, but they serve a huge portion of our population, so I would still like to do it at that 4,000 level.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right. I'm going to ask so the blue column are the recommendations that we're putting in there?
So blue is kind of like a temporary holding, right, while we're talking.
Can we zero out the ones that we haven't done? Just leave it. So right now we've done 1,000 and 4,000, so we have.
Oh, yeah, we can do that. Just all we were doing was keeping a running total where they came up.
Chair Walton, I'll go ahead and change the color of the ones we've discussed. How's
that? Okay, yes, that's perfect. Thank you. Okay. All right, so looking at, you're right, because with the number chains, we're only $100 over. Any thoughts on quickly wrapping up this $100, or can someone make an executive decision for us all so we can move on to the next set of applications? Commissioner Fioria?
I'd love to propose to actually go down on the Dos Pueblos football to 500. That would still fund 2 mils for the whole football team, so we're giving them some substantial money, but also recognizing that, as you said, that is it's a booster club. It's a lot about supporting the team. So we can do that in a small way, but save some of those funds.
Okay. Does everyone feel good with that? Okay.
I see four head nods.
It looks like, Commissioner Rupogo-Purinton, you're the next speaker. No? Okay. Mm-hmm. Then we have Commissioner Jenkins. Was there something you'd like to add?
Withdraw.
You're going to withdraw? Okay. Okay, so we have that, and we're at exactly 25,000. Do we have a motion do we need to make a motion to approve this before we go to the next set?
Unless you want to change some of the other numbers. All we did was round the numbers from the yellow column to the blue. So
right.
if you're all okay with it, you can nod heads and we can move on. You want to move for something else.
Yes, please take a moment. Yes.
And I've been taking lessons on being a professional auctioneer. So if you want me to try to do that, we can go down the auction route and I can try to negotiate it. I'm just kidding.
A moment.
I'm okay with the rest. I'm ready to move on to the next category.
I'm sorry, I'm still going through my part, but anyone else have discussion? Are they still looking at their numbers as well? The only one that leaps to mind is the Santa Barbara Police Activities League. I would prefer that we fund some of the more local organizations. I know they do work that's countywide, but that would be the only place I would think of, like perhaps using that $2,800 to beef up some of the other organizations that we all are in support of for this session.
I'll respond to that. The Police League was asking specifically for scholarships for Goleta students for summer camp. So even though they are a more countywide organization, they were specifically funding scholarships for Goleta students, which I feel very strongly about. So I would like to keep that there. The one that I'm looking at actually is Goleta Valley South Little League. That's one we funded very highly last year for improvements. So I would consider moving 200 up to Goleta Historical Society to make that 4,000, and then moving 1,000 from Little League to the softball, because they're also doing scholarships. So that would fund them fully for their scholarships for the year for all the Goleta students. And that would still leave 1,000 for the Little League to work on bleachers.
What do we think? I think the math is math.
Can you recap what you said there? That was a lot.
Is it too much, too fast?
It was brilliant. Say it again.
So let's do one at a time.
Okay, so moving 2,000 from South Little League into Goleta Valley Historical Society, so that's a nice round 4,000. And moving 42,000.
Not they like me.
Nope. And then moving 1,000 of that to Goleta Valley Girls Softball Association from 2,000 to 3,000. There you go. That's okay. There you go. That was my proposal. They entered it, but feel free to counteract my.
So we have nice even number of 25,000, and we are recognizing every organization that committed and encouraging them for submitting an application for next year. So I guess the answer is, or the question is just in general, one more time, because we don't want to spend too much time on this. Are we comfortable with these numbers and can we move on to the next section? Or is there anything that someone feels very strongly about that we should also change?
I'm comfortable.
I'm very comfortable. How are you? Feeling good?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I can live with it.
You can live with it? Okay.
Okay, Chair Walton and members of the commission, we went ahead and rounded your numbers, and your recommendation is a nice, perfect $25,000.
Wonderful.
So this is where you landed, funding everybody.
Okay. Thank you so much. I feel that was great work. Are you ready to move on to the next section? I don't know how many more minutes we have left of our 45.
Can you check in with Timothy real quick?
That's a recommended time.
Okay.
And I would like to honor it as closely as possible, but I also don't want to feel rushed.
You're right.
So we are moving on from the recreational ones, right?
That is correct. Environmental.
So in environmental, here's the numbers that you have. Animal shelter, $1,000. Explore Ecology, $2,000. Nature Track, $3,000. Audubon Society, $2,300. Santa Barbara Channel Keeper, $2,400. Santa Barbara Humane, $2,300. The Maritime Museum, $3,000. The Santa Barbara Wildlife Care Network, $3,000. The Therapy Dogs of Santa Barbara, $1,500. And the Wilderness Youth Project at $4,500.
Any commissioners like to discuss or speak anything? I can say from the last session that I took into account everything that people said, and I understand the value of supporting all of them. So I'm on board with whatever numbers you feel comfortable with. Commissioner Jenkins?
The only one that I had a question with is Therapy Dogs of Santa Barbara, the number nine. And the way that they propose using funding was with the airport and people coming in and liking the land and liking to pet dogs. That just didn't resonate with me, so that's where I feel some flexibility.
And you can see I agreed as well because I chose not to fund them at all. So what about the other commissioners? Do you feel really tied to that amount?
But I think there was one more thing. I thought the adjustment and rounding it up that staff did was really good in terms of a visual for us. Thank you.
I will agree with Commissioner Jenkins. I think that's, I agree with everything you said there. I think that's something I'd be happy to move around.
Okay. So keep the numbers as they are, round it up to 1,500? Or
I mean, I would like to see more going towards Nature Track.
Okay.
I had that one.
Where would you like to take something from?
From Therapy Dogs.
Okay. And how much do you think would be good?
All of it.
Okay.
According to Vegas?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
$500.
$500.
All right. Any thoughts? Does anyone feel strongly about that? Are we okay with? That would work too. Okay, that looks good. I'm sorry, I'm missing my list of speakers. Commissioner Philibosian, you're the next speaker, or did you already have your...
No.
Okay, and then Commissioner Furia?
Yes, I would love to see some of the money shifted from the ASAP CATS program to... I went down a little bit lower on that one. We did fund them last year. A lot of their application was about volunteers, but they didn't actually say how many volunteers were in Goleta. And so I didn't know, they wanted to do volunteer training, but didn't say anything about where right. their volunteers were coming from. So I'd still be happy to fund them at the 500 level, but would wonder if maybe we could move some of that into either explore ecology or the Santa Barbara Humane Society, which is focusing specifically on Goleta residents.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons why I chose not to fund them as well, that again, taking the application as they wrote it, if they weren't able to be specific and actually answer the question, you know, kind of like when you're in seventh grade and you have to give 500 words and you just add in stuff, and it should work, but it doesn't. So if you don't answer the question, I just assume the answer was no. But any other commissioners? How do you feel about that number?
Chair Walton, excuse me, you do have a speaker raising their hand.
Oh,
it might be based on that comment, so I didn't move any money yet, so okay. we'll listen to the speaker, and then if we want to move money, just let me know.
Okay, the speaker is Stacy Mattson. I will go ahead and unmute you on our end. Please go ahead and unmute yourself on your end. You will have 3 minutes. The timer will begin when you are ready.
Yes, thank you so much for considering the Animal Shelter Assistance Program for funding. I did want to say I specifically thought we did include in our application that 31% of our volunteers are in the city of Goleta, the residents of the city of Goleta. We had at that time about 200 volunteers. Now we have managed through your support and the support of others to increase that number to almost 300 volunteers, and that includes fosters and volunteers in the shelter, and that 20% of our adopted cats are adopted to residents who we serve are serving in the city of Goleta. So thank you so much for considering us. And I do think that we did put that in the application, but perhaps I'm incorrect. I'm looking at what I think we submitted. So thank you so much for your consideration.
Thank you. Commissioner Furia, do you have more to add to that? So we're at a round number of 25,000. Are we okay with 1,000 to the Animal Shelter Assistance Program? Commissioner Jenkins?
I am okay with that number.
Commissioner Hugh?
I am also okay with that number.
Thank you. Commissioner Rapogal-Purinton?
I'm okay with that number, and I'm actually okay with all the numbers in blue, which are our averages and then just rounded.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for that. Commissioner Jenkins?
I move that, unless someone feels strongly, I move that we adopt this average.
Commissioner Jenkins, is your microphone on?
It is now. I move that we adopt the environmental wildlife animal applications with the adjustment that the staff made.
Commissioner Jenkins, we actually didn't take a vote on the other one, so it would be all the grant funding recommendations for both categories.
Will I amend that for all the grant-funded applications? I'd probably get a second someplace.
I'm not quite ready yet.
Okay. So it dies.
So if you want a second, and then I'll comment, or either
no,
way.
No, if it doesn't get a second, it doesn't get a second.
Okay.
More discussions needed.
I would really like to see a higher rate for Explore Ecology and Santa Barbara Humane Society. So I was wondering if anyone would consider areas where you might be willing to adjust. The Humane Society was specifically focused on both neuter clinics, spay and neuter clinics for GLEADER residents and adoptions for GLEADER residents. I really liked their application about that, and Explore Ecology just does really excellent work with our local schools. And I know they have a lot going on there, so I'm not gonna die my sword here, but I would just love to see a little bit more for both of those organizations, but understand if
can
everybody else is comfortable.
Quantify a little bit? Yeah. 1,000? 10,000?
I think let's see.
Make the suggestion and maybe we'll follow it.
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out where it would come from, though.
While you're thinking, could we go on to the next speaker?
Yes, please.
Okay. Commissioner Jenkins?
Are you finished? I mean, are you going to come up with numbers that take from...
I think she's thinking of numbers.
Okay.
She's doing the math in her head right now. So that's why I thought maybe if you want to share your thoughts, if you had something different.
I'd just like to call the question.
Okay. Thank you for calling the question. Keeps us on track.
I think if everybody else is comfortable, I'm fine.
It'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm all good.
So Chair Walton, you still have a motion on the floor. So if we wanted to accept that motion and do a second, somebody can second that.
Can you repeat the motion? I'm so sorry. Repeat the motion.
So it is an amended motion to accept all the recommendations that are currently on the worksheet. Is that correct?
They're in blue.
Well, it would actually be the column fiscal year 24, 20. Okay. Well, if you change those blue, then it is blue.
There you go.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you. Do we need to have a vote?
Yes.
Can we call for a vote, sir?
We can probably take public comment one more time. No. Then, yeah, we can do a vote. I will go ahead and remind everyone to please lock in your vote down below. Commissioner Hugh.
Yes.
Commissioner Jenkins.
Yes.
Commissioner Philibosian.
Yes.
Commissioner Replical-Purinton.
Yes.
Vice Chair Furia.
Yes.
And Chair Walton.
Yes. How do we
motion
do?
Passes.
Okay. All right. Good job, team.
Thank you all again for your time in awarding these grants.
Thank you. Okay. Would you like to introduce the next item?
Yes. I'm just saving this so that we can refer back to it tomorrow. Thank you, Chair Walton, members of the commission. Tonight, I am excited because we are closing the loop on something that we started almost a year ago. We had talked about this a couple times at the commission level. We had talked about doing a rental process for outside recreation amenities. And at the time, a few years back, the commission wasn't ready to make a recommendation. This time last year, about May of last year, you did make a recommendation. Yes, let's move forward, make a recommendation to council. In September, council supported that recommendation. Lots of discussion at the council meeting on that one. So what you have before you tonight is our recommendation for what we feel would work for outdoor rental spaces. here in Goleta. As we mentioned in the staff report last May and again tonight and in your packet, we would be focusing on the multipurpose fields in those four different park areas that we've discussed in the past, which was Evergreen Park, Stowe Grove Park, the Community Center, and Johnny Wallace Park. With that said, those would be the primary rental areas. We're not looking at renting in neighborhood parks. We're not looking at like Winchester 2 or Andamar Park or anything like that. We're looking specifically at those larger parks that have those a multitude of recreational activities, aside from the field at the community center. That's just a field, and it's very active. In addition, we did a balance of activities. We have the eligible locations, the process, very similar to the process at the community center for renting just a classroom. It would be checking availability, submitting the application. Each application has to have a review process. Our review process is to evaluate the situation and to make sure that the uses are compatible. So we wouldn't want to have two smaller rentals that are, you know, sword throwing and basket weaving at the same time. So we'd want to make sure that the uses are compatible. We would also make sure that it was appropriate in organization and that they wouldn't be causing damage to our fields, such as some type of footwear that has would have deep penetration into the turf and tear up the turf for the next user. So lots to go into consideration for that approval process. We have a priority rental opportunities listed in your guidelines, and that's with the City of Goleta projects, programs, and services being the number one priority. The next one, those that really have a community benefit that fulfill an identified need. Here in Goleta, we have in different areas of the town, there's a need to have maybe like a lunch service program in a park, or there's a need to have child watch services or camps or clinics or anything that is either identified in our recreation needs assessment or the city's strategic plan. We also have compatibility with the neighborhood to make sure, you know, we don't want to have a circus over at Johnny Wallace Park, literally, with a big top and juggling and sirens and everything else and elephants walking around. So compatibility with the neighborhood as well as the facility. We talked about the multi-purpose fields. We have typical hours for rent, really, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday during the school year. Those are your typical hours. It's not going to be a restricted hours. In a couple months, we could go till 8 p.m. Because the sun would allow it. None of our fields have lights, so there is no after dark hours. And then we usually don't rent anything until, we don't open the parks until 8 a.m., so nothing would be after late hours. The community center field averages what it's, we usually see a lot of time after that 5 o'clock hour, and the any hours that would come in requested for between 3 and 5 p.m., we would coordinate with the Boys and Girls Club because we coordinate them for their outside activities to allow the kids to use our field space as part of our collaborative efforts with the Boys and Girls Club. In the summertime, we're looking at typical rental hours from 8 to 5 because that's when we're going to see the soccer camps and the day camps and the different types of camp activities. And then, again, coordinating with the Boys and Girls Club for those at the community center. Weekend rentals, again, we would evaluate each of those weekend rentals for compatibility with the space. For example, if Special Olympics was having a volunteer recognition, a big black tie event in the middle of the day on a Saturday, we wouldn't want to have a big, gigantic sporting event at the community center because we wouldn't have enough parking. So lots of those types of things. In the sports activities, we're looking at practices only, maybe some non-official games. So if someone's having a scrimmage, that would be okay. But we're not looking at hosting league games in any one of our parks. We have Gersh Park for that. We support Gersh Park as a city. And so we're not trying to take away any of that. We're trying to keep that focus. But this is for the convenience of practices and even some scrimmages. We see a lot of pickup games or some scrimmages there. In addition, we're really trying to limit the idea of non-sports related events or parties on our fields. Putting something, for example, at Gersh Park, the Lemon Festival, the park takes a beating after the Lemon Festival. All the heavy equipment on there, all the people concentrated in one for just those few days. It really takes a beating on the park, and it really increases the cost of maintenance. So we're really discouraging a lot of that non-sports related activity. That doesn't mean that we couldn't have a yoga class out there, a Tai Chi class out there. That's not necessarily a sports class, but a fitness, an arts class, but really trying to stay away from those big special events because the parks, all those spaces really were not designed for big community special events, the ones that we're talking about. So we do have a historic event at the community center field, and that is the La Patera school has a PTA event for their PTA families, in which a lot of our PTA families in La Patera school reside in Old Town. So it's kind of a way to bring those events and celebrations right where the residents are for and the students and the parents. Sports courts, again, typical hours would be 8 a.m. to dusk. Rentals on courts would be for specific practices, lessons, or tournaments. This is where we're getting a lot of complaints about people using our courts for games, not games, I'm sorry, for clinics or lessons, and they're charging a fee, and they're making money on city courts, and that's against our municipal code. So this would allow them to rent our courts, and then we would go back and track these people down and tell them that they would have to rent the court. The city would get some revenue that we can apply to the maintenance of those spaces. And at no time in any of our rentals would we exceed 50% of available time at one location. And that's I don't even think we're going to see 25%, but I'm just saying that at 50%, we would cap it. In the summertime, we might see a lot more, but then as summer drops off, we're going to see a little bit less. And then we reserve the right to remove or cancel any rental in the case of inclement weather, incompatibility with neighborhood and maintenance needs. Other recreation amenities that we're looking at renting is the skate park, disc golf, and these rentals were again reviewed on a case-by-case basis, making sure we're checking with compatibility of the neighborhood and compatibility with other activities within the park. We do not yet have fees established for the skate park or disc golf or some of the other fees. We do have an estimated fee for the fields, and we do have a fee for the courts. And so we have new fees that'll be going to council next month, and those new fees would be applied in July. However, the other areas like the skate park and the disc golf and some of those other amenities, that will be part of a citywide fee study that we'll be doing. So we may not try and guess. We may try to put a placeholder and put something in there for next month's meeting, but we're still trying to work that out. But right now we don't have a fee. We're still doing some research on that. So what we're proposing, we did say in our staff report to both the commission and to council that our plan was to come to the commission, then take it to council. If council supported it, we'd come up with a plan, and our staff report had indicated we'd bring it back to the commission. Council had a lot of energy around this topic, a lot of conversation. And so ultimately we'll want to go back to council, but our recommendation before you tonight, as summer is on our heels, is that we pilot this summer, and giving those that busy time the opportunity to fine tune what's working, what's not working. If there are any changes, we come back to the commission in September with those changes and then follow up with council for a full adopted policy. But really looking at tonight's policy as we're at the starting gate, let's pilot it, let's try it out. And if we need to fine tune it, I can also share with you that we are in discussions for 2 day camps to take place here in Goleta, one at the community center and one at Stowe Grove Park and possibly Johnny Wallace Park based on the construction timeline, kind of splitting the time. So that's really exciting for our families. And it's a successful camp that's operated currently in Santa Barbara, and they're expanding to Goleta. We also have had a couple phone calls and discussions about some soccer clinics and a few other things. So we're trying to, by piloting it this year, we can try it out with these first-time users, and then we can see how it's working. And then we can, again, fine-tune it in the fall if we need to and take it to council for final adoption. So that's all I have for you, and I'm available if you have any comments or questions.
Well, are there any comments in the public?
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak on this item, please use the raise hand icon, and I can call on you shortly. We do have a member of the public, Mr. Bill Rupp. You'll have 3 minutes. Timer will begin when you are ready.
Okay. Good evening again. I'm actually with the Santa Barbara Running Association also, and the running club. And it wasn't mentioned, but we use Lake Los Caneros. And I just wanted to say that the permit process has been quite easy for us in terms of getting it going. We don't make money on the race or maybe a little bit. We usually give it to the Goleta Valley Historical Society so they can feed their goats. But, I mean, it's gone well. I walk my dog by Evergreen Open Space, and I would say the disc golfers are actually very, for me, they're actually very nice. And they'll actually wait for me and things like that. So my last comment would be I want to thank you for the support for Club West. And then just to mention that, like, I'll go to Girls Inc. and actually get them to bring some of their people to our event. So there is some sort of symbiosis going on there and things like that. And thank you again.
Thank you.
And Chair Walton and members of the commission, I wanted to just share our public speaker, thank you for your comments, just reminded me to communicate that this does not affect our everyday average user coming out to the sites to use the spaces. So we're not charging a fee to use the space. We're only assessing a rental agreement if somebody wanted to rent the space so it is reserved specifically for them and their use. So similar to a picnic shelter.
Yeah.
So as soon as we can go live, we're looking at early April to go live with our online facility booking. And then if the commission supports this, this would all push out with it as well.
Are there any other members of the public that would like to comment at this time?
Chair, there are currently no hands raised.
Okay, and I see we have a commissioner ready to comment. Commissioner Ruppelgold-Purinson, please.
I support this as a great starting point. Again, in the fall, we can see how it worked out and fine tune it, but we've got to start somewhere, and this sounds great. So thank you for the work on it.
Thank you. We also have Commissioner Furia.
Agreed. Thank you very much. I'm very excited about this. I have a couple of questions. I will ask one and then let the other people come and come back. One of them, you mentioned that you work with the Boys and Girls Club at the Community Center for the space. I know there's also two other schools there. There's the Head Start and the Rainbow School. And I was just wondering if you also work with them to make sure that they have some outdoor time in the field.
Vice Chair Furia. Yes, we do work with all of our lease agreements at the Community Center. Both of these preschools do have play yards, and so the majority of their time, just for confined, because otherwise they're walking across a parking lot, they typically use their outdoor play spaces. So they do have fenced-in outdoor play spaces that have been improved by their licensing and so forth. So that's their primary time, but we do typically get a request from time to time for them to have some kind of special activity in the field, and we do typically accommodate those. Those are typically in the daytime, which is usually, except for the summertime, in conflict. And then they do have their preschool graduation on the field.
Nice. All right. Commissioner Philibosian.
I just had one question here under sport courts. It says, rentals for guaranteed play will be permitted, but at no time will one group be permitted to rent all available space exclusively. I think one was like Evergreen. They have two courts. So you can't rent both courts at the same time, or... what does that mean? I just want a little clarification.
So we were looking at the community center courts as, and this is where this came about. And so if you do have a recommendation for an alteration in the language, the idea is that we don't really want to have nothing available for the public. So we're trying to not have somebody monopolize the space. So that's, we really, even at Evergreen, we wouldn't want somebody to rent both courts, or at Stowe open space, we wouldn't want somebody to rent both of those courts unless they had some kind of coordinated, like, mini tournament or something happening that they had coordinated amongst the neighbors or something like that. So again, we're flexible, starting point, play with it. But even with the community center, now keep in mind that the community center courts, they are currently run by the Goleta Valley Community Center Organization, and we're hoping to bring back in May they've recently done a survey and they have gathered some information. They've made some modifications to their schedules. They're hoping to come back in May and share that with you of what they're doing. So they do have a reservation process, and that reservation process is as well limited. One person can rent a court in a single day for 2 1-hour time blocks, but they can't exceed that time frame. And again, it's because the courts are there for the whole community. So we want to make sure that everybody has an equitable access to it.
So if you do have suggestion for language, to make it clearer or more clear, I'm very open.
Well, I'm just thinking if you're going to use the courts there for either one for an event or competition tournament, you're going to want all of them. And it would only be for a short time, obviously, for the duration of the event, but you wouldn't want to share a space with another group that may show up or be disruptive for whatever event you're hosting or potentially be, you know, unsafe depending on who's over there, what they're doing. So I just think that, like I said, for the courts, if you are running a tournament or some sort of event like that, that you would want all the space for a short period of time. And as long as it's not, you know, happening all the time, then I wouldn't see that as a problem.
So for a point of clarification and for the rest of the commissioners, we're referencing bullet point 3 on sports courts. I mean, we can actually number these to probably make it a little bit easier to reference. But in that number 3, what if we put rentals for guaranteed recreational play will be permitted, but at no time one group maybe calling out it as recreational play or calling out unless for organized sporting events or something of that nature? Any other questions or comments?
Yes, we do have something from Commissioner Furia.
I have one more question about the bullet point 4. At no time will rentals exceed 50% of available time at any one location. I know we had some comments in the past about the pickleball courts, and you just referenced them now. I was just wondering, do you know what the time allocation is now that is frustrating some people? Is that more than 50% or less? I'd be interested to know what that balance is that has caused so much feedback to us and whether that this addresses what the perceived imbalance.
Thank you, Vice Chair Furia. The community center courts, because they're being currently managed by the Goleta Valley Community Center organization, is under a different agreement. So that would be exclusive of this unless those courts came under our direct day-to-day management. However, to answer your question, and when we spoke with the organization after we heard from members of our public, the first time they looked at it, it didn't exceed 50% when they were looking at all available courts in the community. When they pared it down to just the community center courts, it did exceed that 50%. The proposed schedule, I haven't figured out everything on the proposed schedule, but they have a reservation time, and then they have a reservation time with opportunities for some instruction or special events, and then they have the open play time. So they have done some juggling, and I just have not quantified that, but there is some modifications to the schedule. But the group were looking at the open play versus the reserved time, and in that reserved time, they were actually making it comparable to what's available in our community. And I've asked them to just pare it down to just that facility because we don't look at everything in the community. And when we do look at everything in the community, it's intermixed between city-owned and county-owned and privately-owned. So we really need to focus on facility by facility.
I appreciate that approach. I was thinking just that, essentially. Like, I knew those courts weren't involved, but I wouldn't want to see a similar situation come up at other courts or locations across the city. Thank you.
Are we prepared to have more discussion, or should we make a motion?
So I have one recommendation that was provided, and that was on bullet number 3 to clarify either adding the term recreational play or adding unless an organized event or activity or both. And so with that modification is what we would be voting on tonight.
Would anyone like to make a motion?
I move that we support this with the adjusted specifications, but I do move that we support this.
Is there a second? Oh, sorry. Commissioner Jenkins, you have a comment? I'll do a second. Thank you. And shall we have a, do we need to have a roll call?
Yes, Chair. And reminder to please lock in your vote down below on your screen. Commissioner Hugh? Uh-oh.
Yes.
Commissioner Jenkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Philibosian?
Yes.
Commissioner Replicle-Purinton?
Yes.
Vice Chair Furia?
Yes.
And Chair Walton?
Yes. Did my vote go through? Because my screen changed.
It says it's still waiting for a vote.
It's changed back to the request to speak screen. How do I get back to the voting page? Maybe if I do this. Oh, there we go.
There you go. There you go. And the motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are we done?
Chair Walton, that is the last discussion item that we have tonight. So I believe next on your agenda is the commissioner comments for the opportunity for commissioners to speak on items that are not on the agenda.
Okay. So would any of the commissioners like to comment?
I would.
On any additional items that are not on, I'm sorry. You said you would. Okay, Commissioner Philibosian.
I came prepared and then saw the comment we had earlier. So it's not in response to that. This was a prepared comment before. But I and some other people I know are very extremely thankful to the Department of Wildlife and Fish and Wildlife for stocking Lake Los Caneros with the trout. This has led to a lot of excitement in our local fishing community. This has been a safe and healthy activity that we've enjoyed by many people of all ages. There's nowhere else to do this in the area. It's a fun activity. Walking through Lake Los Caneros, I've seen many groups of young kids with their parents out there participating in fishing. And I believe that this is something we should encourage for active recreation in our parks and open spaces, and this seems to be a wonderful step. I view stocking the lake as a great benefit to the community, and we should work hard to make it safe and so it's so it works with all the different constituent groups that are using Lake Los Caneros and who enjoy and utilize the lake. So thank you.
Thank you. Is this the first time we've had fish available in Lake Los Caneros?
Chair Walton and members of the commission, no. The lake is stocked on a regular basis. Okay. There was an incident where a barn owl was entangled by some fishing line that was left at the lake. And I believe that's where the comments were derived from this evening.
So prior to this, we've had a long history of everyone remembering to clean up after themselves and put things back. Okay. Thank you.
And that was not in response to the gentleman who made the comment earlier. I had prepared that a couple days ago from the Audubon Society. So,
yes.
But I have walked around there and seen many groups and families out enjoying the park.
I think some of that is also in line with the huge amounts of rain we've gotten over the last 2 years. If you recall, maybe about 3-4 years ago, we had dwindled down the water at Lake Los Caneros to a pretty paltry amount, and there was actually instances of what they call fish kill, where there's, you know, hundreds of fish that don't make it because the water's not oxygenated enough because there's not enough volume for it. So in a traditionally good year, yes, it is stocked.
Wonderful. Anything else, Commissioner? Okay. And next speaker, Commissioner Jenkins.
This is just a point of information. I saw it on the news yesterday. And the Supreme Court is looking at the rights of homeless to occupy parks versus the community. And it's an issue that I don't know if that's a salient issue in our community, which I haven't seen. But it's something to keep our eyes on. And it's a fine balance about who has access to public spaces. and those people who are using parks for shelters and a place to reside versus people who have traditionally used the park for different recreational and leisurely usage. It's a fine balance, and it's something I think we should be mindful of. And the Supreme Court's going to decide if homeless do have a right to occupy parks. So I just wanted to throw that out there to increase your awareness about all the competing interests about using public spaces.
Thank you. I was not aware of that. And certainly we want to make sure all of our neighbors, whether they are homeless or housed, feel comfortable in all of our spaces. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that.
And there was one more thing, and this is directed to Ms. Plummer, and it's regarding our community gardens. Could you give us an update as to the status of use, if that doesn't make you uncomfortable?
Nothing makes me uncomfortable.
Try something else.
Jenkins, members of the commission, I'm really excited about our community garden. We're getting super close. I feel like I'm saying this a lot, but we are getting very, very close. We have gone through the rental process as indicated in the staff report in your packet, and we currently have 47 of the 46, Leonel just updated me, 46 of the 50 spots reserved. And so we are working with those gardeners. We've even held our very first workshop for community gardens. We held that at the community center last month, and it was a great afternoon. It was a free workshop. So lots of enthusiasm. We're trying to get the gardeners in there as soon as possible. In addition, we had a company step up and was willing to adopt the pollinator butterfly garden. And so they're actually going to fund the plants that are going in there. And we're going to tour them tomorrow on the site. So they're going to actually adopt the inside of the garden space. The new fence is up, but we're waiting on hardware for the gates so that we can put the gates up. Once the gates go up, then we are weeks away from opening. We're like right there. So we're real excited. It's looking really good. There's just a few little touch-up things that have to happen. And we are getting close to needing to shut down Johnny Wallace Park for the splash pad project. So it is important to us to try to get Armitos Park open for those residents before we close down Johnny Wallace Park playground, because it is very heavily used. When Johnny Wallace Park does close down, it is so that we can install the shade structures on the up by the grass area. Those will be cantilever umbrellas, not like the icon shade structures that we have over there, just to provide some shade to that area because it's very warm up there. In addition, we will be having a crane that brings the building in, and nobody can be around the site during that time. That's really cool to watch, though. But nobody can be around the site. So when we do shut down the location, aside from Crane Day, the whole place is shut down. But even outside of Crane Day, the skate park will remain open. So the bathrooms will be closed, but the skate park will remain open because we know we have users that are very enthusiastic and they will find a way to skate regardless. So we're just going to allow them to skate. But the rest of the park would be closed down. So we're trying to get the bike path open, and we're trying to get the community garden open. Yes, Commissioner.
Along with openings, I know the ribbon, I think I have the right date. The ribbon cutting for the Goleta Community Center is April 4th.
Yes.
Yes.
And so is that going to open up all the interior rental spaces or some of the interior rental spaces? Or?
So thank you, Commissioner Replegal-Purinton. Yes, the community center has a ribbon cutting on Thursday, April 4th at 10 a.m. on the steps of the community center. Also that day at the community center, we were having a senior expo, and that expo will run from 9 to 1 p.m. We have about 26 vendors so far for the expo, and we keep getting calls every day, so we're thrilled with that. And then we the ribbon cutting will take place in the front, and then we'll have the building open so that with the expo happening, so everybody can kind of tour and see what's happened. Just a reminder, a lot of the work that was done inside this building was in the ceiling, in the walls, and in the floor, so not a lot that you can see. However, once we've been able to access the facility, we're giving it a deep scrub. We're doing some touch-ups. We did the floors in the auditorium, and I have to say it's gorgeous. There's no other word for it. Yeah. It brings a tear to my eye. I'm kind of a nerd in that way. It's like, oh, this is beautiful.
They still the wood floors.
They are wood floors, yes. It's the same. It's the original wood. It's probably the last resanding and that we'll be able to do with before we have to replace it. But it is chef's kiss, just absolutely beautiful. So we are doing some other things to try to brighten up the space and use what we have. We still have another project that will show a lot of physical improvements as we go into the ADA project. That project's not happening yet, so we're trying to do what we can now without having to put money out now and then put money out with that ADA project to change things right away. So lots happening. We're very excited. And then again, the launch of our online platform, which we'll be launching Explore. We're really excited. Kelsey, Leonel and Claudia have done a tremendous job leading that effort, and Kelsey's been working at night and on the weekends trying to get everything input in time. So we have those two ribbon cuttings, and then we're hoping right around that same time to also have a ribbon cutting for the community garden. So fingers crossed, we're working hard. And then we also have Project Connect, I believe, next week. There's a ribbon cutting for a groundbreaking there, and State of the City is happening, I believe it was on Chair Walton's list. Yep. State of the City will be taking place on April 10th at the Community Center as well. So lots happening, yes.
Thank you. And I'll be working with Ms. Plummer to actually get busy at some point because not doing very much these days. Just kidding.
Two more points. We'd like to remind the public that April 20 is Earth Day. Please stay tuned for events and opportunities to celebrate countywide. And lastly, a reminder of the next Parks and Recreation meeting taking place on Wednesday, May 8th, 2024 at 6 p.m. And we are adjourned. Thank you so much.
So badly, I love you all so much.